Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we the lawyer way back from the beginning. The trusted source for the news. Seven night for Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we been loyal even when we wasn't women. A trusted source for the news. Seven night for Hallis in your ears. You.
Awesome. Bobby the Bears.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen, Patreon subscribers? Welcome back to 79th and Alice. This is episode 294. Per usual, it is your guys, Scott and Flows. You know to follow us on all social media platforms at Barchair Scott, at Flows and Delaney. And if you are listening to this a week later on the free feed, subscribe to that Patreon so you can get these early. Link is also in the description box. For those of you who are wondering why I haven't been tweeting that much, no, I am not dead. I just don't want to. I'm trying to slowly filter Twitter out of my life. It's just way too much. I haven't even seen anything. I just know for a fact there's some dumbass arguments over that Jay-Z interview. I haven't even seen the timeline, but I just have a feeling. Listen, by the way, shout out my boy Frazier for doing the interview with Hov anyway, too. Shout down. But anyway, how we feeling?
I am bored. It's the offseason is interesting because I look and see all of, you know, our colleagues or, you know, other folks who cover the Bears, even if it's just a fan podcast who don't cover them. And you don't really have a lot to talk about, you know. I look around and I'm like, man, I know this podcast would get 10,000 views every live during the season, sitting around 900 views. I'm like, yeah, because no one's really concerned. I mean, if you're a Premier League, Champions League, soccer watcher in general, you got stuff to watch. Opening day is today.
Not this week, you don't. International break. I've been over here not knowing what the hell to do.
Right. Opening day is today. The NBA season was already going on. March Madness is happening. So it's like there's not much to talk about. Or really much to do, but at the same time, me and Scott have also talked about, you know, in the past, how, you know, we want to put more content out because while maybe the big stories aren't happening, there are plenty of things for us still to talk about. So right now, I'm like, you know, I'm sort of the indifferent part of the season.
Yeah, I'm kind of bored, and because this is also because this is the first year in a long time when the Bears don't have a top 10 pick. So my draft excitement is low. Like, I don't really care. Like I said, I'm not going to hold you. I've said my piece about this plan of Ryan Poles. I'm not going to bitch about it no more. What happens, happens, okay? It's not like I'm going to stop rooting for the team. So, not to say I don't care who he drafts, but I'm not that emotionally tied to the draft. Because whoever he drafts, I don't care if it's even a quote-unquote good pick. I got to see these people play. So until I see him play, it doesn't really matter much, man. Like you said, it's international break. So there's no world football going on right now. I might watch this France-Brazil World Cup friendly just to feel something later today. Baseball restarts today. Dodgers get their rings. Yankees blew out the Giants yesterday. This is the weird part of NBA season where we're less than a month away from the playoffs. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we don't really care for these last couple games. We know who's going to get the big seeds. It's just about, is OKC going to repeat or not? We got to wait for a couple weeks. So it's in a weird era. I have given off all college basketball, so I don't know what's going on in March Madness. So, yeah, it's an awkward part in the sports calendar. But today, not that long of an episode. Joe has things to do. But we're going to kind of recap free agency because we haven't done that since the last time we recorded. Now, if anybody who watches or listens to this podcast, you're a Bears super fan as well, so you know who we signed. I'm not going to go over the list. So me and Joe just going to talk about what would you grade Ryan Poles' free agency and which signing either you like the most or intrigued you the most?
I think I'd probably have to give Ryan Poles so far a D. D minus, C minus. I mean, D plus.
I was waiting for you to give the real grade. I was like, don't softball.
I mean, because like I'm looking at who I felt the best two signings were: Kobe Bryant, which is just also crazy to say, and Devin Bush. I know the defensive tackle from the Colts had a much stronger season last year than he had like a couple years before that. Khalif Raymond as a returner, it's a great pickup. You know, some people are like, oh, you know, I saw Lions fans like, oh man, he ain't great. But so I'm like, bro, we're not using him. They're not using him on offense. Like, it's the Bears don't need him on offense. Like, that's the main point. The Bears don't have a need for a burner or someone like him. So that's perfectly fine. You know, the other pickups are already in house: the Braxton Jones, the Case Keenums, DeMarco Jackson, Daniel Hardy. I don't mind Jedrick Willis, who was the Browns. He's probably more depth or more just helping the competition at left tackle with Theo Benedict and, you know, Braxton Jones trying to fight over it. So I'm not mad at it. Kentavious Street again, whatever. Cam Lewis comes in, which is fine. You know, he's just a reserve, another debt. You know, Lynch, I am happy with Jack Sanborn coming back. I think that's especially because, man, the Bears linebacker core, if there's one thing they proved, is that, one, the linebacker position, Mike linebacker, absolutely, you need a guy. You need a guy, Mike linebacker. It just makes everything work. Outside linebacker has far more wiggle room for plug and play. We saw DeMarco Jackson come in. DeMarco Jackson played very well. You know what I mean? It was like, man, Tremaine's out. It's going to be ass. But he played good. And I've seen Jack Sanborn play. I think Jack Sanborn is a good depth piece and can be a good rotational outside linebacker, along with him and Sewell. I think Noah Sewell's still on the team. So I'm okay with it. But when I look at it, I'm like, that's a C-. Like, that's cool. Now, obviously, you know, Scott just mentioned that, you know, I don't care about the names. I want to know how they play. Me and you have echoed that for years. I don't care about their names. Can you play? You know what I mean? Can you play? And that being said, there is a little caveat with that because the big names have proven themselves. You know what I mean? And it's not like, who is that dude who played for the Panthers with Cam Newton? He was a cornerback. Had a crazy
Josh Norman.
Locked down everybody. And then ever since that, no. I'm not talking about a name like that. But if we're talking about someone like Max Crosby, who was proven over as a veteran of the NFL, a great edge rusher, a great brusher of the passer, he's proven himself. He should absolutely be a priority. And I don't know how many stops I would not have, at least at the time, have pulled to get him here. That being said, the injury and everything shakes things up. But you get all these players, and, you know, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 good players, 30-some, maybe not 30-some teams, but 10, 15 teams fighting for them. These things happen, but the Bears is a team who really came off one of their best years. I mean, you can argue that this was their best year since 2010. I argue it is. It is their best year.
It is their best year.
The best year since they went to the NFC Championship. Was that 2010 or 2011?
That was 2010. The game took place in 2011, but it was the 2010 season.
2010 season. Like, this is their best year since that. That is an enormous amount of time. That's 16 years. And I think this was a better team than that 2010 team was. I think they had an easier path to get to the NFC title. And
it's the best offense in Bears history.
For sure.
The numbers might not show that, because I know it's 85 right. Bears, number two offense. That was 85.
Right. But, like, this is – if they were a play away, two plays away, you complete that pass to DJ Moore, maybe three plays, you get yourself in the end zone, you win the game. Like, they were in the position to win it. And they would have had the best season since 2006 when they went to the Super Bowl. Yeah. So you're coming off of that. Your priority should be, we need guys. We need tough, hard hitters. We need proven players, proven stats if we really want to change it around. It's odd to me that – was it the Raiders, I think, who had an incredible free agency so far, that – they, a team who has been ass for quite some time, are moving like, man, they're moving like they have had a great year last year. And not just an okay year last year. Not okay, I mean, not
terrible last year.
You know what I'm saying? They got Linderbaum. They got N'Kobe Dean. They got Quay Walker, Malcolm Conley, Pay from the Raiders, like Stokes, Naylor. Like, they really, like, they had a ridiculous offseason. Why are they getting it when they're an ass team and they ain't been good in eons? I don't get it.
Well, in the words of friend of the program, Adam Schefter, he said, the Bears are broke, which has been the theme here for an incredibly, I won't say long time, but I feel like last year, that has been the thing that they've been trying to sell us, that the Bears are, you know, broke. So here's the thing. Without me veering into the I hate this plan territory for the midtime, I'm going to try to stay away from it. I have to address a tweet that got blown up on our page about Jaquan Brisker. Because a lot of people out there don't think, which I understand is a social media app, a lot of y'all thought that I meant like he was the crown jewel of the defense and we needed to bring him back. What I meant by when we all said, me and you said, before the season ended, Jaquan Brisker is probably not going to be here next year. I thought he was going to go for way more in the market. Now, the market tells you who you are. I said, oh, for only $5 million? Considering the other holes on the defense, I would have brought him back on a short $5 million deal for 1 year. And here's my reason. You only have 7 picks. You have 8 things you have to draft. You're going to have to draft a wide receiver 3. For the reasons you just named, Joe, we're not going to bring that kick returner we got from Detroit and put him in, you know, wide receiver sets. You're going to have to draft a left tackle problem. You're going to have to draft a center who's going to be your center of the future now that Drew Dolman decided to go home and be a family man last minute. You're going to have to draft 2 corners and a safety. You're going to have to draft an edge or 2, and don't forget a defensive tackle. How are you planning to get all of that and have these guys start? Like, people are like, oh, well, did y'all not watch the Niners and the Lions games last year? Yeah, I know they were trash. I'm not losing any sleep over losing Kevin Byard because you got Kobe Bryant, who is a vast improvement over him. I'm not even saying that Jaquan got to play next year. You bring him back on a 1 year, $5 million deal, and you draft the young safety, and you have them compete. And if Jaquan beats the young safety, cool. You give him 1 more year over there, and if he really plays well, then we see what goes on. And if not, if the young rook just destroys him and he gives it and he earns a spot, then you cut Jaquan. It's $5 million. That's all I was saying. Same thing with Nashawn. I'm not saying that these dudes were, oh, I'm emotionally connected to them. And, oh, we need to be. No, they did not do that well last year. But I still think with the amount of holes, you could at least have them in the building while you groom these younger players. Now you've got these younger players, and they're going to have such immense pressure last year. Somebody was like, well, oh, you got Terrell Smith. I messed with Terrell Smith. I interviewed Terrell Smith. When have you ever seen Terrell Smith pass week 3 in a uniform? You haven't. So, oh, he's drafted Zach Franklin. Hey, Joe, have you seen him? The entire year. I didn't even see him on the bench. He's been away from the team. He could be in my house right now, and I wouldn't know that Zach Franklin. Okay, so you can't rely on him. Kyler Gordon, Jalen Johnson. When are they healthy? Now, granted, Jalen's last year, probably like the first year he really got healthy. But the injury he got is not something that I believe is going to be reliable. I think he's going to be in and out of the lineup. And he's older. Love Tyree. But he just don't get it sometimes. There's so many question marks that I feel like adding rookies solely in those positions, you're adding more question marks. Let's go to Devin Bush. I like the Devin Bush signing. But last year was his first good year. Is he that much better than Tremaine Edmonds? It remains to be seen. Now, that's not me saying bring back Tremaine Edmonds, because Tremaine Edmonds was $15 million. So I have no problem with you letting him walk and you bringing in a younger linebacker who had a really good year last year. There's upside there. So I'm not mad at that. I just feel like there's a lot of banking on younger talent and hoping that guys like Shamar Turner, Dio come back from injury and can play well. And the reason, Joe, that they can't spend money is because they gave Grady Jarrett and Dio all that money last year. And now they want to say, oh, we can't afford that. And you know why they can't? Because the Bears are having capital issues with that damn stadium. All right? That's what it all comes back to. So when Adam Schefter says the Bears are broke, yes, it's the salary cap in the NFL and you got to spend stuff. But because of that situation, and the Bears are probably looking for outside help to help them with the new stadium, that impacts on the field. So now when Ryan Poles goes up there, he's not lying. He can't just go up there and say we're broke. But when he's really up there saying, I fucked up last year and spent money on shit that I shouldn't have been spending money for, and now I can't afford this. Because it's not even about Max Crosby. It's Trey Hendrickson. I took Bradley Chubb. Just give me a vet out there is what I'm saying. So many questions is where I look at the faith level, so I'm giving it to God. Who knows? Now, I want to go to the regression. By the way, I'm with you.
I do want to give him a D. Yeah. I do want to make a comment on their cash flow issues. It was bad cash flow-wise. At one point in time before those signings, the Bears were down to like $200,000 cap-wise. Now, cap-wise is what's allowed under the league rules for you to spend.
They also haven't done any restructures.
Right. So that's what's allowed for them to spend cap-wise. If there was no cap, that's a different story. But as Scott said, they also have an issue with their cash flow. And because of that, it constrained them because the biggest issue was that stadium. Right now, what cash are they going to use for the stadium? It's private investing. They might get some help from the cities or municipalities, but they're struggling with that. And I look at a signing like someone like Cam Lewis. Cam Lewis is a 7-year NFL veteran. He's played all over. He's been at the nickel cornerback position. He's been both sides of the cornerback position. He's played safety a little bit. Now he's getting moved to a full-time safety outside Kobe Bryant. It's a risk. And he's never played primarily as a deep receiver. He's a deep defender. He's also undersized. Now, the flip side of it is that Dennis Allen's scheme is he loves an unconventional defense. He loves it. He has interchangeable safeties who will disguise their coverage by switching between deep zones and also switching to going to the box. So it's a beauty in his system, and that is a good player for it, but he's a good depth piece. I don't think he's a good starting safety, or rather, I don't know if he's a good starting safety. However, as you said, the Bears' decisions cap-wise or just signing people-wise put them in this position, and he had to do something. And getting sorry, I see all my students outside. It's funny. I have students, and I tell them, like, hey, there's a sign that says I'm in a meeting. What are you doing? And they're still going to keep waving their hands. Is he worse than it's a colleague?
It's kids.
A colleague, too. There'd be 60-year-old people in here forgetting. Nah,
well, also, people don't read. There's that.
It absolutely is that. But so they're constrained by this. And I struggle right now with – that's why part of me wants to give them a C-plus because, yes, the stadium project is not going to affect their salary cap.
Right.
But that liquid cash flow is absolutely going to do that. In order for you to sign these top-tier free agents, they have to pay – super upfront signing bonuses. And a lot of that means teams are required to replace the guarantee portion of it. And that goes into an escrow account. And because of that, you also have to deal with that. The McCaskies are committing billions of dollars toward the stadium. That is a huge capital commitment. And that puts them into a bind and makes them appear broke, which is why they should be actively working with the city on probably or city or not the state that gives them it may not be the best deal that you want, but it will help you on the football side because you can build all this shit. But if your team ain't doing good, it's going to hurt you in the long run.
Yeah.
But if you give them my opinion is the Bears right now, it's going to sound stupid as hell. The Bears right now, it's the hottest of takes. They should put their search for a stadium on hold. And it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen.
It's not going to happen, but I don't think that's a hot take.
They should put it on hold for about a solid 5 years. 5 years is crazy. Sorry, that's the bell of my job. They should put it on hold for about 2 to 3 years. 2 to 3 years of we have cash right now. We have $2 billion committed for this stadium. We're going to take that back and just hold up here. That doesn't mean we won't negotiate with the state of Indiana, the state of Illinois, Prescott, whoever the fuck the Indiana governor is. We're going to negotiate with them and see, okay, what can we do? But we're going to take it nice and slow. We're not even focusing on, you know, our investments. We're going to bring that cash back into our literal cash flow balance. We're going to restructure contracts. We're going to get our salary cap far more buoyant than it was before. And we're going to give a good team. 2 years is probably more reasonable for that. You do that, and then your team becomes even more valuable. And as that happens, then go back to the bargaining table or continue with the bargaining table and get yourself a good team. You just had one good season. Yeah. I don't think you should be taking that money after a great season and putting it directly into the stadium project and putting all your efforts in there. Because I don't know if a lot of owners realize, especially owners who come from like either a humble family like the McCaskies were, and then the McCaskies, but the Hollises were.
They're broke boys compared to other sports.
Right. But that's the flip side. Either can put you in a bad bind. If you're someone like Steve Ballmer or someone like the McCaskies, Steve Ballmer has 100 times more money than they do. The man's worth like $100 billion for a family that's worth $6 billion.
He bought the farm in himself. $4 million in cash.
Himself. Yeah. But his belief, I'm not saying he does, but for his belief, he may think, I'm just going to go all out with every single thing. You also have to be reserved. In baseball, it works absolutely because ain't no salary.
Yeah.
So you can go all out and buy every single
player. And it's a bigger risk for Ballmer because the Clippers are like the fourth most important team in that city.
Right. And so you can have the perspective that you can go all out or you can be very conservative. That don't work in football. In football, you will have to make decisions that would never fly on Wall Street but work here. It's like, you know, this player here, he's a bit older. He's a veteran. I want to give him, maybe like $5 million. But he's been such a key person on this defense or offense. I'm going to go ahead and give him $8 to $10 million. Now, financially, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? But what are you doing? You're setting up a precedent that, no, the players that come here, they're going to feel valued. And they're going to want to stay here. And then his experience with the team will draw other people in there. And actually, it would make sense in Wall Street. The comparison in Wall Street is, or the comparison at a regular job like freaking Walmart. I'm going to pay my employees a livable wage. I'm going to raise it from 15, wherever it was. I'm going to get them 25, 28. I'm going to lose money. I will not make as much as I would. However, what am I going to have? I'm going to have a work environment where people feel valued. They get benefits. They want to be here. And so when they're inside the stores, imagine, Scott, now this is an unbelievable scenario I'm going to pack. Imagine if, you know, you look at a Walmart was hiring and say, yeah, we're paying $100 an hour. You're like, yeah, it's Walmart. I'm like, you sure you wouldn't do it, but it's Walmart. But I'm a 20-year-old. You're going to think $100 an hour? Hell yeah. I'm coming out the gate after a 10-hour shift. And I got
to work. Even if I still might consider part-time.
Right. And what if you go there and you say, oh, man, you know, you got an hour lunch break. You also got two 30-minute breaks. And the boss treats you fairly. You need time off. Time for your family is good. Your health insurance, PPO, the best that there is. You're going to feel valued there. A customer argues with you, your boss comes up and protects you and say, no, you're not going to talk to my employee out here. Get out of here. You're going to feel valued. And then you're going to start saying, oh, somebody said, oh, man, you want to take off work for this day? No, I'm going to go make this money. And I'm going to feel valued there. That's decisions that corporate and most business owners are never going to do. But in the NFL, you do have to make those decisions. You have to make sure. They might not give it as a league health insurance, but you got to make sure you're giving your player the best, because then that influence helps you to go, this is a great organization. And it's also why I think one of the owners want to, I think they just banned like the team grades, because
it
reflects poorly on teams who don't spend well. But what you did see is, at least if I remember correctly, the ones that did the best as an organization tend to be some of the best teams in the league as well.
Well, the Bears did pretty good, especially everybody loves Halas Hall. Halas Hall was great. And that's why I kept telling Bang was like, oh, when they get the new stadium, if it's in Indiana, they going to move Halas Hall. I'm like, no. There's two reasons why they're not. For them to still be called the Chicago Bears, their headquarters has to be in Illinois. Number two, this anything Ryan Pace did that was well is the renovation of Halas Hall. Like, that is highly graded amongst the league as one of the best. Now we only got 10 more minutes. So I want to say this too.
And then also, like you, the drive from Hallis Hall to Hammond is
basically the same shit as the same drive from Hallis Hall.
So if you're driving from
and Hallis also Hall, the team staying in a hotel, that's 10 right. minutes away from the stadium.
Right. If you're driving Hallis Hall to Soldier Field right now at this time, 12:40, it's going to take you almost an hour to get there.
Yeah.
If you're going to Hammond from Hallis Hall, it's going to take you about an hour and 5:10. Oh, it ain't like as much big of a difference.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so, Les, we had this debate on I'm Not Gonna Hold You on Friday about the Bears being a regression candidate. And Bang was saying no matter what happened, the Bears are gonna be a regression candidate because of the last minute comebacks and, you know, the 1 point wins and shit like that, which is facts. My point was because of what they've done in free agency and the uncertainty of what they'll do in the NFL draft. And let's be very clear, there's going to be people upset when Ryan Poles goes best player available with that first pick. There's going to be a lot of people who think he's going to be automatically edge, edge, edge. I think there's like 6 to 7 really good edge players in this draft. The problem is the Bears draft pick 25. I think a good amount of them are going to be gone before the Bears pick comes up. Because this is not a heavy quarterback draft. A lot of people are going to be waiting for next year's quarterback draft. So I think you're going to see a lot of those edge guys go off first. So I think because of this strategy, which I said I have no faith in, I think the regression is even more inevitable here. Now, that doesn't mean that this team won't make the playoffs. This doesn't mean this team won't win double-digit wins. I do think that there's a path for them to still do that. But you have to be more prepared. The margin for error is going to be so much greater because of the question marks on the defense. And you're coming off a year where the defense was already bad. You're going to need Caleb, Ben, everybody on the offensive side of the ball to be even better this year to make up for the defensive woes. You're going to be going up against a division. Well, let's be real. I don't think it's gotten better. Have you think Detroit has gotten really better? No. You think, I'll argue that Green Bay got worse.
Yes.
And on top of that, the news came out today that Michael Parsons is going to miss the first quarter of the season. So, which we are, even though on the flip side, I hear Patrick Mahomes going to be ready for week one. Don't know if that's smart, but that's what I heard.
You know,
I do believe the Vikings got better. I think Kyler is going to make them a little better.
Right. What's our homie Duke's name on Twitter? Duke of Zamunda. He saw Patrick Mahomes throw and he was like, bro, ACL, Achilles, that's just going to be a brief IR stint in like 10 years. And the way modern medicine is, which
have you seen how Jason Tatum looks post Achilles? And don't it look like he got hurt?
It don't. It's the way modern medicine is like you know, it's funny. It's, of course, seven out of the house, we get off task. When I see like Americans who are like evangelical and religious and don't want to take anything and don't want to trust scientists, I'm like, I get it, you know, because countries have used medicine and technology to do evil things. But then I look there and see, remember when Gale Sayers tore his ACL and it was like, it's a miracle he's back.
It's not funny, but his reaction was funny.
Right. It's a miracle he's back because that ACL, it used to be a career ender.
In fact, I even say ACL recovery is much quicker since when Derrick Rose tore his.
Right. ACLs now is like, damn, I look forward to seeing them next year. Like that, right. Like that's it. Before it was like, oh my God, it's over. The best talent, Gale Sayers, the best running back we've seen at that point. But, you know, maybe, I don't know, if him and Jim Brown contemporary? I don't know. But yeah, the best talent we've seen, he's gone. I can't believe it. But now we look at it as, shit, he's out for the year. We'll have to plan. But we don't have to think about, we need to draft his replacement. And Achilles are coming that way. And so when I think about that, I'm like, man, it's just so incredible how far technology has
gone. I also think it's technology, what age medical science, you know, that happens. Because it took KD, I want to say, 2.5 years before he got to looking – somewhat like KD and staying on the court. Jason Tatum's edge, he's only 25. I truly believe Tyrese Haliburton would be playing right now if Pacers weren't so ass. And they're obviously tanking to get a better team when he comes back next year. Right. So I think Pat will be straight because it's just an ACL, but I still would sit out the first couple games.
Yeah. And I mean,
you got Justin. Justin can hold it down for a couple games.
Andy Reid can absolutely make Justin serviceable.
Yes.
The same way freaking, what's his name, for Pittsburgh made Justin serviceable for like three games. You can make him serviceable enough for a month to get what you need and to get the game going. I fully believe that. But I was thinking about like the NFL draft, and I think you were talking about, you know, Ryan Poles going best player available. And what I realized is the Bears need to move away from, not abandon, but move away from a primarily best player available to a balance of best player available with tiebreakers.
Position need.
Right, with tiebreakers. So, for instance, let's say we had Caleb Williams, but then the next draft year, Trevor Lawrence, you know, who's one of the greatest prospects coming out of college, was available at the pick the Bears had. The tiebreaker is you truly do not need him because you already have a great quarterback. Move on. So no team will ever strictly draft best player available. I say no team. But the best teams don't. So the Bears need to look at it as if you come across an incredible if you had an incredible running back talent. Like if they came across Jeremiah Love at 25, I do not give a shit that you have DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, situations like that.
You get Jeremiah Love immediately.
Yeah, you figure out the rest later.
You figure out the rest later because you're not going to pass on someone as talented as him. The next thing is if, you know, you look at it in the
draft. It's kind of like Jahmyr Gibbs. We laughed the Lions when they took Jahmyr Gibbs. Who's laughing now?
We ain't laughing now. You know, and if you come across at 25 and you had a freaking Jamar Chase was in this draft somehow. In a mythicized version, and he's available at 25. I don't give a shit that you got Roman Luther. You go pick up Jamar. That's what you do. But if it's a Caleb situation, if it's a, say, Drew Dowman was still here, no, move on. But with the Bears, I don't mind them. I used to say, hell no, no best player available. Then I did more research and I looked at how teams do it. I said, yeah, the balance works. You have to, because positional needs and positional strengths in the NFL change year by year. 10 years ago, NFL teams were convinced, I'll find a running back in the seventh round. I ain't spending my first four picks on a running back. Hell no. And I think Seattle was the one who, like, pioneered that. But what ended up happening? Now we're like, no, we need a good running back. It's going to be tough for us to argue about putting a number one pick, but running backs are back in top 10 picks again. They're back in top 20 picks again because needs of teams and trends of teams change over time. So, you know, we just got to see what the Bears will do. But the free agency, I'm going to keep it at a – I'm going to move from a C- and a D+ to a C. It's going to stay a C because financial constraints are here. And I do think there are some very solid pickups in there. I think Kobe Bryant was a home run hit. It's a perfect replacement at safety. Like you said, Kevin Byard and Jaquan gone, but I'll take Kobe over both of them easily. Obviously, yeah. Different positions. With Jaquan, I think I'm back. I think I agree with you. If you saw the market was this ass for him, you could have absolutely thrown him $5 million and kept him for one more season. You could absolutely did. But yeah, the DJ Moore thing had to happen, and
I'm not losing sleep over DJ. We got a second round pick. Bye.
Yeah.
So just one question for you guys. Faith level and Ryan Poles playing 1 to 10. I'm on a 5.
4.
Oh, you lower than me. I'm going to 4-2. I thought I was being harsh.
But this is an improvement because at the beginning of last season, my faith was a 2.
Yeah.
So yeah. I will give him credit because the Bears had a good season.
Yeah.
But again, now it's what will you do? If I start seeing the Bears pick up some really solid players, I mean, I look at someone like Kyle Manunga. I don't fucking watch Rutgers football.
Yeah. Hey, during camp, he wasn't even involved in practice. I didn't think making the team.
I don't keep up with a non-Big Ten team that's not named Ohio State. I'm aware of what the team up north does. I'm aware of what Illinois does. Obviously, I clearly knew what Indiana was doing. But before these 2 years ago, I didn't pay attention to them either. And I had no clue about him. I saw Rutgers fans in the comments of like when the Bears picked him up, like on the highlights on YouTube. You might not see it, but he is a very good back. And lo and behold, he's a fucking bruiser. Yeah. He's the perfect complement to DeAndre. And DeAndre Swift felt them footsteps, was like, all right, nigga, I got to do better.
Yeah.
DeAndre Swift had, I think, his best year of his
best
career.
Best season as a pro.
You know what I mean? So I will give him credit because that is Ryan Poles' design. That makes it go from a 2 to a 4. But you got to put up a shut up every year is put up or shut up.
And now you're not everybody's homecoming game. People are expecting the Bears to be a big game. So you got to prepare for that. Final thing, Caleb Williams was trying to trademark Iceman, but George Gervin isn't having it. George Gervin, even though he does not own the trademark, which I told Bang on the show, I was like, that old man ain't got that trademark, bro. But he's trying to say that he's used it before to block the trademark. Don't know if that's going to work. He has used it. He's the original Iceman, George Gervin. But I don't know if that's going to hold up in court, especially since he don't have the trademark.
So wait, what's the story?
So Caleb is filing for trademark for the Iceman nickname. And George Gervin, we all know George Gervin, former San Antonio Spur, but the kids at home, he used to call himself the Iceman. He was the original Iceman. He does not have the trademark, but he is trying to stop Caleb from getting the trademark because he's used it before. So sometimes in court, they don't let you approve a trademark. And trademarks usually take 9 to 12 months, or at least for us it did. But I'm not Caleb Williams, and I don't have very expensive lawyers, so I'm pretty sure the process is sped up for them. But he basically said, I'm a Caleb fan. He's good. He's got a great future. But this is my name. So that's the thing that's going to be going there. We'll see what happens.
I think Caleb still wins.
I do, too.
Yeah. Now, this is based of what I know about copyright and trademark law, just because, like, I have a bachelor's in criminal justice, and, like, you have to have, like, a minor in that to really know, or then be, like, a paralegal to know more. But I do know that when it comes to trademarks, the priority of it often goes to those who use it first. But then you have to start documenting, you know, the licensed merchandise, the personal appearances, the commercial use from that era. However,
and also that didn't trademark it, though.
Right. And they might say that, hey, that, you know, it will be brand confusion if Caleb does this. And, you know, and he can say that it acquired secondary meaning and it got really popular after George Gervin. The biggest issue is these are entirely different markets because one is football, one is basketball. And
one played in the 70s.
Right. And the other is playing in the 2020s. In addition to that, Caleb filed first. So George Gervin argues that, oh, man, we thought it was already registered, but it was a mistake. Like, that takes it down. In addition to that, the nickname has existed for forever.
Yeah.
George Gervin was the Iceman. Fucking Chuck Liddell from the UFC was the Iceman.
Drake's next album is called Iceman.
And so if we're having someone like Chuck Liddell, who is the Iceman? I mean, advertisement. Chuck the Iceman Liddell. You never heard anything for him. And in addition to that, he didn't go to that office to secure it. And you have George Gervin, who has, I think, is a good moral case. But I do not I think what ends up happening.
It's not like he's trying to trademark Mamba.
Right. I think what happens is there's like a thing in trademark law where you get to like both can have like a piece. And so George Gervin might retain it for basketball reasons. So Anthony Edwards can't come up and say, man, I'm the Iceman now. But hell no. But football-wise, I think Caleb's case is clear.
And honestly, so I haven't seen George Gervin use Iceman since that. Remember that joint slam cover, like in 03, when the Spurs went up with him and Duncan did the Iceman cover? I ain't seen it in like 20 years, so I don't know.
Right. So I think it – what is that called? Can I look that up?
Because I know from getting the trademark, the process, they go through everything.
It is called, yes, a coexistent agreement. Trademark coexistent agreement is a contract made by two parties to use a similar trademark for marketing purposes, similar trademark for marketing purposes without interfering in each other's enterprise. Yeah. I only require regional use for the trademark. Yeah, I can see that happening. I can see it becoming a coexistence argument where you get your basketball, I get my football. Yeah. And my thing is, if I'm George Gervin, I feel like that's a win-win for you. You'll retain that you are the Iceman in basketball. I don't know. How long do trademarks last? Do you know?
I think you got to get it. I think you got it every 30 to 50 years. You got to get it you got to apply again. If not, it becomes public domain.
I know that was like that for
Kanye. I know Disney had to do that a couple times with Mickey Mouse.
Right. Even though Mickey Mouse is in the public domain, or
yeah, well now it Steamboat is.
Willie is in the domain.
I think it's Steamboat Willie.
Trademarks can be perpetual potentially. It lasts 10 years per registration period. You can then renew it indefinitely as long as you keep using it in commerce and file the renew paperwork. There is no maximum lifespan. Mm-hmm. However, there are two ways the trademark can die. You stop using it, you don't defend it. So, yeah, I mean, and then on top of that, when you know, if he passes, I don't know how successful or how reasonable it will be for someone 50 years from now to use the George Gervin Iceman. When niggas are like, who the fuck was that? They might do that now.
I mean, they're doing that now.
You know what I mean? Whereas Caleb, 50 years from now, and let's say he has a legendary career, the little kids who grew up with him are going to still know and love him. And so I think a coexistence agreement is just, it's a good pathway. It's a win-win. You get your thing, yeah. I get mine.
I'm pretty sure Caleb's going to get it. I'm pretty sure his lawyer went through all the possible, you know, situations. Same like the Hallis, man, where you get football and trademark talk.
Right, you got a person like Scott who has a business degree, who knows these things. With me, I will randomly have criminal facts that I know from a criminal justice degree. But it's we've been podding, by the way. Great episode. I just have to congratulate us.
Sometimes we gotta pat our own backs.
It's because I hate podcasts, but I love when podcasts are like either they serve a point, a purpose, or they really get you involved in it. There's this podcast called Holy Post by the man who made VeggieTales. I don't want to say Heaven VeggieTales. Phil Vischer. He has a great podcast, but it's knowledgeable. It's not hot tech. Obviously, it's religious. And I mean, Joe Budden. I like watching Joe Budden's podcast. I love seeing who's my man who has the PhD who always cooks. Mark Lyon. Yeah. I love Mark cooking. What is that dude's name?
Ish.
Ish. I love him when he cooks. I love when he cooks it. Like, that serves a purpose. And then Mark is there to always to clarify the rational arguments. Button is there for the laughs to flow. So I love podcasts like that. And what we did today, I think, was a perfect balance.
Good pod. You subscribe to the Patreon if you're hearing this late. So, yeah. Anyway, I've got more stuff to record. Joe's got to help the youth be good. So we're going to get up out of here. I don't know when the next time we'll holler at y'all. Probably after the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even trying to make sure that I'm trying to make sure I'm posting about everything, you know, just keeping up with the page because it's difficult when they shit happens.
Dead period. Dead period right now. Dead period. So, anyway, man, we up out of here. We'll holler at y'all later.
Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we done loyal you way back from the beginning. A trusted source for the news. 7 Knife at Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7 Knife at Hallis in your ears. You.
Awesome. The Bears.